honorable, the most honorable, the most audible. Hold the applause like Paul.
Welcome to
Athletics Palabo,
the Boston Celtics podcast here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm your host, Sam Jam Packard, joined as always by the kid, the goat, the legend, Celtics beat reporter from theathletic.com. Coming to you live from Los Angeles, it's Jay King, ladies and gentlemen. How is sunny Los Angeles, Jay?
It's probably the same temperature that is in Boston right now.
It is unusually warm today, like a high 60s.
Yeah, and it's, I think, low 60s here in Los Angeles. So it's kind of northeastern here.
Weird times today. Weird things going on with the weather. Weird things going on with the Celtics, because suddenly the Celtics can score.
They're not as cold as it is in LA. They are hot.
They are scorching hot. They put together two just actually absurd performances. One was a loss to the Utah Jazz, in which the Jazz made 27 threes or 26 threes, shooting 52%. But the Celtics scored right with them, and the Jazz have one of the better defenses in the league. And then another game back-to-back against the Portland Trailblazers, and the Celtics score 145 points, completely blow the doors off them. Jay, what the hell is going on out there?
I don't know whether it's sustainable. But the last couple of games, the Celtics' offense has been outrageous. The Jazz game was some of the best shot making on both teams. Like, just ridiculous shot making, especially the third quarter, parts of the fourth quarter. It was just like each team was just absolutely on team fire. And then the Celtics followed that up. Like, the Blazers stink. The Blazers are heartless. The Blazers have no defense whatsoever.
They don't want to be there.
So I don't know how much that one means. I don't know how much any of it means, but obviously it's promising that the Celtics offense, which has really sputtered most of the season, has come to life here the last couple of games.
Yeah, and they did it without Jaylen Brown, who, like we mentioned, probably should not have been playing, just considering how not great he looked in that 76ers game. He was not in the lineup either of those two games. He's apparently questionable to play against the Lakers. Al Horford was there for the first game, not there for the second game. We saw a lot of more Grant Williams at the four. What do you think of kind of like that? It seemed like they went to that a lot more. And Grant, I think, responded well, still is knocking down things from the corner. What do you think about the kind of the Grant at the four lineups, that it just due to happenstance, I feel like we got a lot more of them in the last two games?
He normally plays the four.
I mean, we just saw with more frequency, not that he's playing out of position or anything like that.
Okay, yeah. It's looked good. Grant has knocked down shots. The team, I mean, the biggest thing I took away from the last couple of games was that just the team seems to at least be buying into Ime Udoka's teaching points about less iso ball, more pace. You listen to Dennis Schroeder speak, and he's a guy who pounds it and dribbles as much as anybody on the Celtics, for sure. Around the league, he's up there. Got to be. I don't know exactly what the stats are. But you listen to him talk, and he's like, yeah, I need to do less isoing. I need to do less pounding of the ball. I need to stop holding the ball as much. And I think there was one stretch during the second quarter against Portland where the Celtics kind of fell back into that iso stuff. And I think Tatum held the ball a little bit, settled for some bad shots, and they were falling back into old habits, and it didn't last. And I think Marcus Smart kind of pushed them back out of that. He was really physical on the drive against CJ McCollum, obviously wanted to take advantage of that matchup. And the Celtics from there just started playing much better offensively. And so I think obviously there have been times throughout the season and throughout the last couple of games even when they have gone back to those bad habits of you know, slowing the game down, settling for bad shots. But to snap out of that, I think, was pretty impressive, and to really just be echoing what Udoka has been preaching, especially from Schroeder. I think that means a lot and could go a long way for the Celtics.
Yeah, and I think the defense is also helping their offense. They were able to stay in that Jazz game by generating a lot of turnovers, and that just helps them play with pace. But you mentioned Marcus Smart. I thought he did a great job of like being strong and really attaching CJ McCollum, and I think he's done a pretty good job of just getting into the paint all year. But he also seems to be a guy who, even off makes, he's a guy really running the ball up the court and really trying to get the Celtics into the offense. And I think it's been kind of contagious, infectious, perhaps. I think Jason Tatum, this is something I saw, like I noticed in the 76ers game. I think he's very prone to kind of falling back into the kind of the slow, methodical offense. If you come up in the coaching tree of someone like one of the greats, like Nick Friedman, he'll talk about 0.5 offense, where you want to have your players, when they catch the ball, be doing something else in 0.5 seconds, whether that's shooting, passing, or dribbling. I think Tatum has a kind of a tendency to really slow the game down and kind of assess his options. But it does feel like he's been just much more deliberate in terms of, at least, in the, admittedly, it's a very small sample size, but just trying to get into the paint and being physical once he's in the paint. I mean, he's had two pretty great performances, 37 points against the Jazz, 31 points against the Trailblazers, but got to the line a number of times both times. And I just think it felt like he was much more aggressive and just like getting into the paint and actually drawing fouls in a way where Nick Friedman would be proud.
I thought the Jazz game was one of Tatum's best games of the season. And like early on, they doubled him at every touch. They were really, really forcing the ball out of his hands. He didn't force anything, just moved it, got other guys involved until things opened up a little bit for him, and then he took advantage of opportunities. And that's kind of how he's going to have to play, because obviously he's going to have a ton of attention. Obviously teams are going to sell out to stop him. If he can continue to look for the right opportunities and then seize those when he gets them, like you said, play 0.5 offense, really make quick decisions, attack on the catch, then he's just going to have much better opportunities. I think early on, you know, he made things more difficult for himself. The last couple of games, he hasn't as much. And then he gets in a rhythm, and then it's easier to shoot the step-back three-pointers and easier to do the one-legged and one, or maybe it wasn't an and one, but the one-legged shot over one of the Blazers. That was just ridiculous. All that stuff comes easier. So he's clearly developed a rhythm. He's clearly been much better. I am looking at the stats right now of him with Jaylen Brown on the court versus him with Jaylen Brown off the court. And they're weird. They're weird, man. And I don't think it's like anything like they can't play together or anything like that. I think there's a lot of evidence that they can play well.
Tell me the stats, man. But you can't just say they're weird.
Tatum with Jaylen on the court is averaging 25.4 points per 100 possessions, shooting 36.4% from the field and 23.1% from three-point arc. That's with Jaylen on the court with him. When Jaylen's off the court, he jumps up to 37.8 points per 100 possessions, shooting 42.5% from the field and 35.3% from three. Obviously, that's probably a little fluky. Like, a lot of the three-point attempts are probably very similar, whether Jaylen's on the court or not. Obviously, it's a small sample size because we're early in the season. But that's weird.
That's just this year? That's not like for their whole career?
That's just this season, yeah. And then the other piece, which is weird, is that the Celtics offense has been much better with Tatum on the court without Jaylen than it is with Tatum on the court with Jaylen. On the court with Jaylen, 102.5 points per 100 possessions, which is awful. On the court without Jaylen, 111.7 points per 100 possessions, which is pretty good.
I
don't think that's...
They sucked in the first seven games of the year, and that's when Jaylen and Jason were playing together. And then Jaylen got hurt and they kind of had their resurgence, at least on defense, and started playing a little bit better. I mean, Jaylen's missed a lot of time and it happened to be with a winning streak. I don't know how much we're able to actually read into those stats, just because there's been so many games when Jaylen's been off the court where it seems like they play like these two games and then the two four game hot streak Jason went on earlier in the year, Jaylen wasn't playing. I don't I'm not going to do some post-hoc ergo propter hoc, and that's a logical fallacy, and just say that Jalen being out caused Jason to shoot better.
I'm with you. Like I said, I don't think this is a case where they can't play together. But I do think, for whatever reason, their offense without Jalen has looked very good.
That's fair.
And like it's just weird that the numbers are as bad as they have been with Tatum and Brown both on the court. It's just bizarre. And some of it was just the whole team was in a funk early in the season. But it's weird. And like you said, to your point, like guys just got hot. I think there's been a lot of talk about like how good the Celtics have been offensively over the last like 2.5 weeks. I think Mark D'Amico wrote a story about how good their offense has been over the last 2.5 weeks. It was just as bad until the last two games. And then they scored 270-something points over the last two games and totally changed in a short, small sample size. Like, that totally changed how their offense has looked over the past 2.5 weeks.
Didn't they jump up to, like, not in the – they jumped into the teens, I think, in total, like, team offense just based on the last two games alone.
Yeah. They have been scorching. Scorching. They're out of the 20s. It's a huge day. Huge day for the Celtics. They are out of the 20s in offensive rating. They are all the way up to 16.
Wild.
16. One spot behind the Sacramento Kings.
That's all you've been saying that they need to do. They just need to be an average offense. And literally, that's the mean right – or that's the median right there, middle of the league. And then they can have a top five defense. The thing, like, it just seems like they Jason Tatum really enjoys the West Coast. And you know who else I think enjoys the West Coast? Because – someone else is on a heater right now, and it's the kid, Jay King. 2 for 2 in terms of articles written on this West Coast trip. You were able to talk to Tatum just about kind of the report of him being a selfish player. I thought that was a great article. Are you able to get like more access
thank you.
On the road than you are at home?
Yeah, it's a lot better on the road. It's just much easier because there's not as many people here. There's more access because they have, you know, shoot-arounds and there was practice out here. So it's easier to do the job, much better to do the job on the road.
What was your biggest takeaway from kind of like talking to Tatum about, I guess, that anonymous article that Bontemps wrote, Brad's comments? What was your biggest takeaway just from talking to him about like his reaction to all that?
Yeah, I think it's obvious that he's trying not to get too down with himself. He knows that he didn't start off playing well, and he takes it pretty seriously. Obviously, he has very high goals for himself individually, high goals for the team. But I do think he's trying to learn from this. And the other part of it was just he was kind of like, yeah, this isn't going to last forever. I know this isn't going to last forever. Like, basically, it sucks now, but when the run comes, and he kept saying like I'm gonna start playing well. Like, I know I'm gonna start playing well. There are always months where I average like 30 points a game. He didn't say that, but basically implied that. And he's on a heater now too. What is it? The last four games, five games, averaging 30 points a game. So. He might be back. Is Jason Tatum back?
Well, he was. I've already declared him back once, and then he left. But now he's double back.
The other part I think that stood out to me is like he understands that he'll take the criticism no matter what if the Celtics fail, and that like if the offense isn't flowing, then it's on him. And he'll be looked at as selfish or whatever. And he knows that, like, he needs to change to impact winning to change all that. And that's what he's going to try to do. So we'll see.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
I thought the other interesting thing is like how much he's aware of like the strides he's made as a playmaker, and talking about how like that's how he's going to impact winning if he's getting doubled. He says, I think it was close, like I've been forced a shot in a double team all year. Like I've been making it the right decision pretty much all year. And so I think pretty much he has. The issue with Tatum has been kind of, I think sometimes too isolation heavy, and then sometimes the shots are not falling. But I do think his abilities of a playmaker have increased drastically. It's just,
and I'm with you too. And I think it's often very unfair of people to kind of just lump him in with Jaylen Brown in that conversation about becoming a playmaker, because he's far more advanced as a playmaker.
He threw one pass against the Jazz. Maybe it was against the Trailblazers, but it was like driving down the left side, and like he saw the weak side defender take one step and immediately like whipped it to Marcus Smart in the corner, who knocked down the three. And it was just like, wow, he like making the right read immediately like that was something that, yeah, you're right, he's certainly capable of doing it at this point, but that's just not like in Jaylen's bag right now.
Yeah, and I do think Tatum has been a willing passer this year, and I do think he's really tried to get the ball moving against double teams, stuff like that. I think, like you said, a lot of it just comes down to making quick decisions, making sure that like he's not just dribbling for a while and then settling for a bad shot. Like put pressure on the defense all the time, and that'll make a difference. It'll make a real difference. When the Celtics shots are falling, they're like, it sounds so stupid. They're a totally different team because it's the most obvious thing in the world. But I also don't think their shots are going to fall very much because they're just not a good shooting team. So they just got to defend their asses off and hope they can somehow get into now they're 16th in offense, get up to 12.
Ooh, 11, maybe a little top 10 action.
Get in the top 10. Yeah.
And just,
how about Pritchard? The Pritchard show.
Oh, I was going to.
Did you enjoy the Pritchard
show? The Pritchard show was absolutely electric. Before I was going to get to that, because that's the second great article you wrote this weekend. Before we get to that.
You don't really compliment me very often. I appreciate it.
Well, you don't always bring the heat, but when you do, I got to recognize it. and so Nesmith had a nice game of his own, knocked down three-pointers. But I still like think the Celtics are looking for him, basically both those guys, because they're probably, in terms of talent, three-point shooters, they're some of the better guys on the team. They just clearly have not been able to adjust to kind of having a smaller diminished role, which is understandable. But it's like, I don't know what you do, because – obviously, if they're not going to be hitting shots, you can't leave them in the game that long. But like, how do you get these both of those guys going, or even just one of them going, so they can be like helpful contributors off the bench moving forward?
Yeah, and I think that's where you hope that, you know, getting hot in a otherwise pretty meaningless fourth quarter will go a long way. Like maybe that helps Pritchard get back on track, gives him back the confidence. Lets him be because he is a really, really good shooter. Like a really elite shooter who's been shooting like shit lately. And I think Nesmith too, like he had a very good stretch during that game. I thought that dunk was going to be just electric. He tried to do some absolute shit with that dunk. Just tried to murder a man. I forget who it was defensively. But yeah, the Celtics, because I do think those guys are important, not just long-term, which obviously they're important pieces for the depth, but also this year. Like I think their shooting could really matter if they emerge, if they gain some consistency, if they start to knock down shots and earn minutes. So, yeah, maybe you know that fourth quarter can get them going, maybe with Jaylen potentially out at least one more game. He's questionable for the Lakers game. Maybe Nesmith can get some minutes, start to develop some rhythm. And because last year it seemed like the first half of the season, he just wasn't ready to contribute. And then once he got more consistent minutes, it was like, oh, okay. Like there's something there. And he hasn't played well so far, but maybe if he gets more consistent opportunities, maybe if he gets little more run, then he can work himself back into that rhythm that he kind of showed toward the end of last season.
Yeah, so. And it's tough just to like how to get in that rhythm, how to earn the playing time that's going to get you in that rhythm. Hopefully, like there'll be more blowouts like this. If the Celtics can score 145 points a night, I think that'd be pretty good. But they're not going to play the Portland Trailblazers, who seem fundamentally broken at this point.
They were broken, man. Oh.
Could you feel it? Could you feel it in the stadium?
Oh yeah. Yeah, like it was when the last Kyrie season, the Celtics felt like that. It was like this team, there's something, you could watch them and just know there's something wrong. Like, I don't even know exactly what it is, but you just watch them and be like, that is not a team that really is a team. And the Blazers have that same feel. Like, it's like, they are just, oh God, ugly to watch.
So
God, ugly.
You were at practice today. Before we wrap it up, was there anything that came from, where did they practice? UCLA?
I'm not even sure where they practice. We met them at the team hotel.
Okay. Anything to come from that kind of little sesh with Ime and whoever spoke?
Well, the hotel was beautiful.
The pool views were amazing.
A really nice hotel.
I'm looking at my my list from Celtics reporters right now, and there's just no tweets coming from that. So I'm assuming this is a very boring press conference.
So the one thing that was kind of that stood out to me as kind of interesting was that Udoka said he's never seen somebody Tatum's age that takes care of his body like he does. Which obviously, you know, he's barely ever missed games. He's almost always been available. And so you could see that in the amount of minutes he's been able to play, the amount of games he's been able to play early on in his career. But I don't think I've ever heard, like, I know obviously that he's had a good work ethic, but I don't think I'd ever heard from anyone around the Celtics that Tatum spends that much time on his body. So that was interesting to me, maybe not to anyone.
Well, he's
else.
Extremely swole. I don't know if you've noticed. Big dude.
He's swoller than he is.
That's all you got from the beautiful hotel you were at today?
Pretty much. Neesmith said he was devastated that his dunk didn't make his dunk, that he really wanted that one. Marcus Smart did not want to answer a question about officiating. said next question. That was about it. It wasn't the most insightful session, I would say.
That's quite all right. We are coming up on the Celtics have two games, one against the Lakers, one against the Clippers, back-to-back nights, a rare back-to-back night in the same building against two opponents. How sad are you that it's no longer called the Staples Center and it's the Crypto.com arena? It's going to be
I'm a big crypto guy.
What? So, you are?
Yeah, I'm a big crypto guy. Oh, yeah.
What's the best coin that people should invest in right now?
I'm not here to give financial advice.
Dude, if you're – okay, that immediately makes you not a crypto guy, because if you were actually a crypto guy, if you were a true crypto bro, you'd have three hot investment tips for us right now.
I own several crypto coins.
You're not willing to reveal what those coins are.
Mostly Bitcoin, which has not performed as well as the others.
Wow, but just didn't.
I think is the best bet long term.
I didn't take you for a crypto guy. Are you an NFT guy?
No, I have no NFTs.
You got to diversify that portfolio. But
because I would never buy art. So NFTs, it's like art, you know. Like that's just not something I'm going to spend my money on.
That's fair. Now, the big question is, during that Clippers game, many people don't know this, but the Clippers, at Clippers games only, not Lakers games, Clippers games are one of the few places you can get a Welch's Jamwich, strawberry and peanut butter jamwich. So how many jamwiches will you be picking up for me at that Clippers game?
How many do you want?
Two.
Then I'll pick you up.
Hell yeah, buddy. So I've never seen a Jamwich in a store. The pretty much the only place I've been able to get a Jamwich is at Clippers games at crypto.com arena and then buying them on Amazon. It's some wild stuff.
Then I will, I'll have to come through for you and actually get those.
Oh, that's going to be fantastic.
Can I bring those through airport security?
I would think so, as long as they're in there correct. I don't know. They're less than, is it a liquid? It's not a liquid. It's a solid.
I don't know if does jam qualify as a liquid?
I wouldn't qualify jam as liquid
And it'd probably be less than 3 ounces anyway.
Yeah, I think you're good. The real question is it going to maintain them all the way from Los Angeles to Arizona, all the way back to Boston? It'll be an interesting flight for the Jamwich.
It'll be a good test for the Jamwich.
Yeah, we got to stress test the Jamwich if we're going to have the people do it. So that's what you got to learn from us, folks. Buy crypto and buy a Jamwich. Well, we'll see how much the Jamwich performs.
I never said to buy crypto. I'm not here to give financial advice.
Make your own decision about whether or not crypto is right for you. I'm telling you to buy a Jamwich because it's absolutely delicious. That's going to do it for us, folks. Thanks to everyone who listened in live on the Athletic app or the Room. You guys are all subscribers, so you can read more Jay King articles. He's on a 2-game heater right now. Let's see if he can continue it. If you want to do that, subscribe to The Athletic.
Thank you.
Go to theathletic.com/podable. You can sign up there. I'm sure we got all sorts of Christmas deals going on. I don't know specifically, but I'm sure we do. And so please subscribe to the podcast, rate it 5 stars, do all those things. Jay, is negligence per se potable?
I mean, we just talked about fucking sandwiches and crypto. So, yeah, I think it would be.
Anything is potable, Jay. Anything is potable.